Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and happy Easter. Christ is risen. We're here again today with Paco Gavrilides, professor of homiletics at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, and just a fantastic brother. He's been on the program various times throughout the years, and I think one of the really wonderfully gifted communicators of the gospel today. And I'm glad we're talking about Pentecost, because this brother is a kind of Pentecost guy. He just is living in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord has used him in so many ways to touch so many people, and just both teaching and preaching and the prophetic ministry and the healing ministry and deliverance ministry. He's been a real lay elder in the body of Christ in so many ways. And so I'm so glad he's here to talk with us today. We're going to just keep reveling in, friends, this week, the glory of Jesus' victory and the resurrection. It has changed everything totally and given the human race a real hope, an unshakable hope that there's a future beyond death. And it's there alone in the person of Jesus. And by the way, it's the reason he's the only Savior of the world. He's the Son of God who's come in the flesh, and he's passed from death to life and entered back into the presence of his Father in heaven. And no other religious leader can do that, even though other religions might have some dimension of light about truth about God. Jesus is the only Savior of the world, which we'll see probably before this week's out, Peter preaching that very thing. There's no other name under heaven and earth by which man can be saved, because salvation means passing from death to life and having eternal life given to us and entering into and becoming part of Christ himself, the Son of God. He's the head and we're the body. Blessed be God for his victory. Paco, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. It's wonderful to be here this week, especially.
Yeah, so good. Well, you kind of ended the program yesterday talking about the culmination of Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, mm-hmm. and it continues in today's reading. So why don't you just share with us what's on your heart about it?
Well, what's striking me today in a very special way, and Eva has prayed about these things, is the very fact that the declaration of the apostles, and Peter in particular, is saying to a whole body of people. So we could even consider the church who needs the representation of these truths over and over in order to enter into the reality in a greater way. He says, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. And for me, what's striking is two words. First of all, the Father. This was the Father's plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so the lordship of Jesus was there before the beginning of time, but the Lord Jesus in a certain way was also kind of come into a reality through the life, death, resurrection, and glorious ascension of Jesus. And he's Lord reigning. So when we think about him being our Lord as one who governs and shepherds our lives in his love and his wisdom, the appreciation for what Jesus was willing to do in order to bring all the sons back to glory and connection with the Father ought to be deeply, deeply working in our hearts. So yes, if he's that committed to do this, to break down the alienation and restore the relationship in unity, and to raise me up to a new dignity and give me the promises of the kingdom, all the graces of the kingdom being poured out into me and into the church, then I certainly want him to be the Lord of my daily life. I can trust him for everything, big things and little things, victories and tragedies. God's in it. He's never going to leave us because he's living in us. So his lordship, we need to welcome it and embrace it and know it and relate to it in an ongoing way. And Christ, well, Christ is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the one who has the power to bring about the change, the transformation, the deliverance, the healing, the strengthening, the consolation. It's all in this Christ. And his life brings this new life to us. And then the fact that he says, Jesus, whom you've crucified. I think here's a lesson for us, that part of God's love and God's ways is to reveal to us the rejection, the rebellion, the darkness in us of having pushed Jesus aside or ignored him in different ways, and our sin actually being a form of crucifying the Lord, so that we then can see in our own lives the reality of being part of the sinful humanity that needs to be restored. So that then when the conviction, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, but they weren't condemned. They were convicted and convinced that they had been part of those who had rejected the Holy One of Israel, the one that was promised from ages past. And then Peter says, here's the solution to jump right over that whole thing. Repent, that is turn, change, have a new mind on things, accept the gift of Christ, who is the one who raised for the forgiveness of your sins. And he says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, in the person, in the reality of this living Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And then that cleansing opens the door of your soul to the graces and the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit.
No, it's so good. I think, you know, what we're given here in this reading today, brothers and sisters, is this is the fundamental preaching, the core, the kerygma of the church. This is the germ cell upon which the whole church has drawn its life. And it's the declaration of the reality of the fact of history, of what God has done in the person of Jesus, and that what God has done has made him, you know, not only sent him in love, and he, as Paco was saying so eloquently, that he became a sacrifice for our sin. This is so important to see right at the heart of Peter's preaching on that day was a reality to say, you crucified him, he died, we're here to tell you we saw that, and that he was raised from the dead on our behalf. And he died for us to take away every single person's sin and the sin that has a hold of every human being. Sometimes we underestimate how big a deal this is, but this is right at the center of everything. Why we're separated from God is sin in the human heart and God's free gift in his son to come and take away sin. That's what he did. He became sin for us. He died your death. He died my death so he could then give us his life and you and I could have that life. And so there's probably no clearer place in the New Testament where you get the simple declaration of who Jesus is and how to become a Christian. The first steps in becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus. What does it require? That you repent, as Pac was saying, and that means turning to God, and not just on your own terms or what your own thought about who God is, you're turning to this one who is now Lord and Christ. And you acknowledge that, you accept it, and then you enter the waters of baptism. And I think Paul says, is it in Romans 6, Paco, where he says, you know, we're put to death in baptism, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin, and then we're given the Holy Spirit, and we're put to death in baptism. The old man is put to death, that sin nature ultimately, and its hold over us is put to death. And then we're raised by this grace of the Holy Spirit. So Christianity is a turning to God, to the person of Jesus, not a generic God or a force or something, to Jesus as Lord.
That's right.
Right? We turn to Jesus as Lord. We say, forgive me, Lord. And we enter the waters of baptism and we allow him, essentially saying, Lord, put the old man to death in me. I can't kill it.
That's right.
You know, that's right. Damaging me. So he crucifies that flesh. He applies the cross to our life, and then he breathes in us the Holy Spirit, and we come out of that water now, of baptism, a new creation. And he gave us, as John said, he gave us power to become children of God.
Yes.
Those are the first steps, the foundations of becoming a Christian, right there.
Yes, and you know, what follows is just as beautiful, for the promise is made to you and your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. So in other words, this promise, which was spoken first to the apostles by Jesus, it is good that I go, for when I go, I will send to you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. And I think that what we can be rejoicing is the utter faithfulness of God in fulfilling his promises. And remember, as Paul says in Romans 5, verse 5, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So the love is the same love that was willing to be crucified for you, that you might enter into the intimacy of the sonship of the eternal God, Son of God. That's what was really there. And therefore, knowing that this is the utter reality of what God has promised the world, that gives me tremendous conviction that there's no one in this world, in this life, who would open their lives and heart to Christ, wouldn't receive the very same gift. Mm-hmm. God doesn't change it. He's unwavering and utterly faithful in giving what he's promised, because his heart's desire is that you be with him forever in his holy presence.
Yeah, amen. That's so good. And I think it's so important for us, brothers and sisters, to hear today as this message of Peter, the first pope preaching the first public proclamation ever after Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, about the essence of Christianity, right, about the essence of what is there. And it's the transmission of life. It's the taking away of sin. Sin is what kills us. You know, death comes through sin. All men sin, therefore all men die, Paul says. And what's important to see is by grace you have been saved through faith. That's what's happening right here.
Exactly.
That it's a free gift of God, because the transmission of eternal life, of the God life, mm-hmm, of the divine life to us is not the result of something I've produced.
Exactly.
Now I need to live from it. Mm-hmm. And faith expresses itself in love, mm-hmm, and it'll be the sign of whether I'm actually living in him or not, and right, my works matter. I'm not trying to say they don't. You can't be saved by your works alone, but you can't be saved apart from your works,
right?
Right. And so this is really important for us to see that at the beginning, you've been given something. Catholicism, the reason I'm saying Apoc was like, I think for lots of people, Catholicism can be reduced to like a morality, a moral system, or sin management, mm-hmm, and I'm out here alone struggling to kind of perfect myself,
right,
to get ready, hopefully that God will approve of me or something. Mm-hmm. The starting point is not my action, it's God's action.
Exactly.
And the really huge thing happened to, mm-hmm, me, mm-hmm, in baptism, from which now I have a power,
yeah,
a new power and a new capacity, right, to live, right, a new way of life.
Right.
And it's so important to see it and live from it, because it gives, mm-hmm, you hope, it gives you confidence. Mm-hmm. And if you fall, he said 70 times, seven times a day, mm-hmm, you can keep coming back. Your whole salvation isn't like resting on you to perform in a particular way.
Right,
right,
right. And I think that the beautiful thing about it is that when we're given the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit and his life in us, the things that God could call us to do and be for others in the way that we live just makes utter sense. In other words, we have the logic of God now imparted to us. We have a new understanding to be able to live these truths, because they've come natural to us because we have a new life and a new life in Christ.
Yeah, that's so good. A new nature, right?
New nature.
A new spiritual nature, Paul talks about. And that's where the renewed mind comes from, a fresh new spiritual way of thinking. Paco, thanks for your contribution. He's good. Paco's going to be with us again tomorrow, friends. I hope you can join us. Grab the free booklet at the end of the program. I always forget to talk about it, but God bless you. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.